Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erechin Daf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins from the very top line of Daf Yud Beis, but before we begin the Gemara itself, let us glance at the outside margin under the Nosei heading in our Gemara markings. The Shas Ozer, the Shas that appears on your screen, features topic headings and structural notes from time to time. In this case, our Nosei reads, Nesochim Haboim Bifnei Atzmon. These are wine offerings that are poured on the Mizbeach that come without accompanying immediately a korban. And the Gemara will ask, Boi Shira Oiloi, do they require the recitation of Shira, or the singing of songs, together with their being offered, with their pouring, or not? Rashi explains that the case of Nesoch Maboy Mifnei Atzmon is a case where the public offering had been brought on, let's say, the day before, without the drink offering or without the wine offering brought along with it. There is an option that even if you didn't bring the wine together with the public sacrifice, you can bring it on a subsequent day. So it's in that context that the Gemara is asking its question. You'll notice that the question itself takes a few lines to develop. This is illustrated by the long question marking the shin that you see encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line indicates that all of the lines of the Gemara that are opposite this vertical dashed line constitute the question. Ibay Eloho, Nesochim Haboyim Bifnei Atzmon. The Gemara asks, regarding these wine offerings that come on their own, Teunin Shira o Ein Teunin Shira. Do they require the recitation of Shira of song or not? Now, the two sides of the question are presented, and we illustrate that with an aleph, and then a couple lines later you'll see a squiggle underlined expression Oi Dilma, and then Beis. The squiggle underlining is used in Gemara markings very often to show a distinction between various versions or options as presented. In this case, Oi Dilma represents the transition from the option Aleph to option Beis. So we analyze as follows. Kevon di Omar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omar Rabbi Yonason. Since he had taught Minayin Shein Oimrim Shira Elo Al Hayayin Amrinon. We had actually seen this on a previous Daf Gemara. This was expanded upon. From where do we know that Shira is said only on wine? Well, since there's a source that teaches that the wine is the basis of, or the reason for reciting Shira, so here I am bringing a wine offering. So Amrinon. So therefore we say Shira, even though it's not being brought together with its animal offering. Oy Dilma, or it could be Al Achila Ushtia Amrinon, Ashtia Luchuda Lo Amrinon. It could be that the Shira is recited only when it's together with Achila, eating, which is a reference to the animal sacrifice itself, and the wine, when they are brought together, but not when the wine is brought in isolation. So those are the two possibilities. Toshma, before continuing in the Gemara, you'll notice we have a house form. If you skim ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice that this house form appears a number of times in a repeating fashion, but flip-flop, the position is changed in an alternating way. This is explained under our Mivneh heading on the outside margin. The structural note, you see a house form featured with the term Ma'akav in parentheses. Ma'akav is a reference to the attempt to keep track of a give-and-take type discussion. So with the house form point, or the roof, facing upwards, that's Lekivun Deboishir. That's in the direction of indicating that Nesachim Aboyim Bifnei Atzmon do require Shura, that the wine offering, even though it's brought by itself, nevertheless there is a necessity of reciting Shura, and when this house form is inverted, it will be in the opposite direction, indicating that it does not require Shura. The Gemara. Toshma, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Megagolin Ischus Leoim Zakai, Vechulei. Now, this is a source that we saw on our previous Omer, on Daf Yud Aleph Omer Beis. And it was a source that described the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And it mentioned that on that day, on the day of the destruction, they were reciting Shira. So, Hai Shira Mai Avidite. What was the nature of that Shira? Now, you'll notice that we have in our markings a double underline series that appears. This is also explained under our Mivneh heading. This is called Shlavei Birur. These are stages of analysis to clarify this point. Shlavei Birur B'Toshma Zeh. This marking is used only in the context of this particular Toshma, even though the entire Sugya and the back and forth discussion continues further, but we've chosen to use the double underlining in under this section, under this Toshma. So we want to know what is the Shira referred to here in this section dealing with the day of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So Ilema da Oulas Choyval, if you were to think that it's Shira associated with the obligatory daily Ola sacrifice, the Tomet Shel Shachar, Tomet Shel Ben Arbaim, which were Ola sacrifices, Mi Have, were they in fact existent at that point? We're talking now about the 9th of Av on the year of the destruction of the temple. B'shiva Sur B'Tamuz Botel HaTomid, 3 weeks earlier, the Tomid, the daily Chova, Ola Chova offering was cancelled, was stopped. V'Ela D'Oilas Nedova. Maybe you want to say that the Shira was in association with a voluntary Ola offering that they happened to bring. Well, that too is rejected. V'hotoni Rav Mori Braid Rav Kana Dolo Tzricha. We taught already on Daf Yud Aleph Omid Beis. You'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a Yud Aleph Omid Beis indicator. If you look back to Yud Aleph Omid Beis and find a parallel arrow indicating Yud Beis Omid Aleph, you'll see that that's where this point was mentioned. So he already taught that there was no need for Shira with an Oilas Nedava. Ela Lav de Nesachim. So it must be that it was a Shira recited together with a wine offering that was brought on its own. The Gemara rejects this. Omar Rova v'Itemo Rav Ashi. Rova and some versions have Rav Ashi saying v'Tisbara. This whole passage needs explanation, because in the source that was quoted over here, but we mentioned was quoted in full on Yud Aleph Amid Beis, it mentioned that the Shira that they said was Vayoshev Aleim Es Oinam. But it also said in that source that the destruction took place on Motsoi Shabbos, which would mean on a Sunday. And Shira de Yomei, the Shira of Sunday, is Lashem Ha'oretz Umaloa. It's from Tehillim chapter Chof Dalet. Vayoshev Aleihem Es Oinam B'Shira Da'arbo'o B'Shabo Hu. And they were reciting chapter 94 in Tehillim, chapter Tzadi Dalet, which isn't the day, is it not the Shira to be said on a Sunday? Elo Ailio Be'almo Hu Denofa Luhup Lepumayu. What happened there was a matter of a simple dirge, is what they were saying, and nothing to do with the topic of a formal Shira, formal song associated with sacrifices. So we can't come to any conclusions regarding what they said over there and our topic of Shira. Question, V'ho Oimden Al Duchonon Kotoni, but the source that is being cited here, which we said is quoted in full on Yud Aleph Amid Beis, it mentions they were standing on the platform. The standing on the platform would seem to indicate that it was a formal Shira. The platform in question is a platform that was set up for the purpose of Shira. So the Gemara responds, Kidurei Shlokish, the Omer Shlokish, Omer Shira, Shelo Al HaKorban. As far as as far as this whole topic is concerned, bear in mind Reish Lakish, who says Shira can be recited even without a korban. Now, if that be the case, so what? Even if they were saying Shira, it doesn't necessarily shed any light on a nisochim, on the wine offering, because of Reish Lakish, his claim that Shira could be recited even without any korban. Well, ihachi b'nisochim nami lemo. If there's so much flexibility, so let us conclude that with the bringing of nisochim, they should say Shira. The Gemara says, no, we're not going to conclude that. Nofik minei chorba. If you're going to say that Shira is recited on nisochim as an option, people will think that, you'll see, as Rashi explains, Nofik minei chorba on the second narrow line. Rashi continues on the third narrow line from the top. The osi lemeimar, people will come to say ki hechi de nesochem avoyim b'fnei atzmon rishus, just like nesochem that come on their own, which was our topic. You have an option of saying shir. An option indicates it's rishus. You could, or you could decide not to. Well, you know what people are going to say? They're going to extend that to think that nesochem avoyim b'makorbanami rishus, which is a mistake. They'll think that nesochem, the wine brought together with an actual sacrifice, is also an option. So we take the approach, says the Gemara, that no Shira will be recited with the Nesochim Haboyim Bifnei Atzmon, so as not to come to misconstrue things with regard to Shira when Nesochim are brought with a Korban. Before going ahead in the Gemara, we want to glance at our outside margin where we have a comment here, the Nosei Klali. That means we're going to now engage in a general topic, and we indicate that this will last till Yud Gimel Omen Aleph. Cheshbonos, different calculations, Ve'inyin Yemei, Bayis Rishon, Ubayis Sheni, regarding the time period of the first and second Beis HaMikdash, Ve'tarich Churbanon, and dates associated with their destruction. Now, the topic at hand, the Nosei, we continue in our note, Birur, we're going to try to clarify, Ha dekotoni dechorben bayis rishon hoya b'mosoi shnas shmita, that the temple destruction of, the first temple destruction took place on the year after a sabbatical year, after a shmita year. Tahainu shana aleph l'shmita chadosha, which would be year one toward the counting of a new shmita cycle, which is a 7-year cycle. Tarich ze kosheh, to suggest that the first temple was destroyed on the first of a new year, 7-year cycle, is difficult. Or ha dekosu b'posuk, in light of that which it says in a posuk that the yud dalid shana achar hachurban, that 14 years after the temple destruction, hoya shnas yovel, it was a jubilee year, a yovel year, which is once every 50 years in the yovel cycle. Ve'im hachurban hoya b'motzoi shmita, if you're going to say that the destruction of the temple was in year one of a 7-year cycle, yotze de yovel hoya noifel betes vov shana achar hachurban, then the yovel would have had to come out 15 years after the Churban, not 14 years after the Churban. That being because the Yovel, according to the popular opinion, before we see additional opinions, according to the standard opinion, the Yovel is on year 50 after a series of 7-year Shemitah cycles. So that the Yovel year comes out after a Shemitah year, after the 7th Shemitah year in a 7-year cycle. So that if you say that the Churban Habayis took place on year 1 of a Shemitah cycle, it would be impossible for a Yovel to be 14 years after that. Because 14 is a number divisible by 7. 14 would represent a Shemitah year, and the Yovel is a year after the Shemitah year. This is basically the topic we're going to deal with, and we look now into the Gemara. Gufa. Omar, there's a Rav Yossi Omar. Omer, Megaglin Schus, Liom Zakai, Bechulei. And in the source that we said was quoted in full on Daf Yud Aleph, it said that the temple destruction took place on a Motsoi Shvius. Now, you'll notice that we have a new marking, a volcano form, a trapezoid that we call fondly the volcano form. If you skim down the page, you'll notice numerous appearances of this shape, but in an alternating position. Sometimes narrow up and alternating up, narrow up and then narrow down. And under our ma'akav note, under our mivne note on the outside margin, we have this labeled as a ma'akav. Once again, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth or give and take nature of this Gemara. The narrow part facing up, we're labeling a kushya, a difficulty, and narrow facing downwards, a tshuva, a response. So now our Gemara. Borishona b'motzoi shvius mi mishkachas lo. Notice, of course, we have a long question marking right now. To the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, you see a kuf that has the volcano around it in a vertical dashed line. All of the lines opposite this vertical dashed line constitute the question. We said in the source that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on a motzoi shvius. That would mean the year after a Shemitah year. Well, mi mishkachas lo. Could it really come out like that? V'hoksiv, is there not a pasuk that says, "Be'esim v'chaim eshana legalusenu," in the 25th year of our exile, "Borosh hashana be'asor lachodesh, ba'abo asor shana achar asher huksa ha'ir." That's the pasuk, and now we're going to focus on the details of this pasuk in order to develop the question. First of all, "Eizohi shana she'rosh hashana be'asor lachodesh." In this pasuk, it mentioned, and we dashed underlined this for emphasis, that said that Rosh Hashanah comes out on the 10th of the month. When in the world do you have Rosh Hashanah, which we're accustomed to being celebrated on the 1st, on Aleph Tishrei, how can you have Rosh Hashanah being described as the 10th of the month? So the truth is that there is such a thing. Heve Omer Ze Yovel. Every 50 years, the official Rosh Hashanah is on what we call Yom Kippur. In other words, on the Yovel year, the shofar blowing that takes place is very similar to the shofar blowing that takes place on a standard Rosh Hashanah. And during that year, the fields that have been sold during the last 50 years are restored to the original owner. And slaves, people that have been working, Jewish slaves, have been sold into labor, into avdus, and had their ears bored, indicating they would work till the Yovel. On Yom Kippur of that year, they would be freed. So this pasuk, when it says Rosh Hashanah on the 10th of Tishrei, is a reference to the Yovel year. So it says in this pasuk that there was a Yovel year, 14 years after the destruction. That's Achar Shehukso year. V'isalka daitoch b'chad b'shavu achorov. If you are to think like it said in the source on Yud Aleph from the base that was quoted just in part over here, just above, that it took place, that the destruction took place on the Motzoi Shvius, which is Chad b'shavu means first year of a 7-year cycle. Well, do the following calculation. Mechad b'shavua lechad b'shavua, from one year one, to the next year one, meaning to go from year one of a given Shemitah cycle, of a 7-year period, to the next year one. So when you count inclusively, it equals tamni, that's 8 years. And then from that point, lechad b'shavua achrina, to the next year one, which would be in effect the Yovel year, because we said that Yovel is the year after a Shemitah year. So to go then to a next year one, which would be the Yovel, that's Chamesh Esrei Havyon, that's 15 years. So if you want to tell us that the Shemitah, that the Beis HaMikdash number one, the first bias, was destroyed on a Motzoi Shvius, it doesn't conform to that, to the information revealed in the pasuk in Yecheskel Perek Mem, which indicates that the first Beis HaMikdash was not destroyed on a Motzoi Shvius. because had it been destroyed on a Motsoi Shvius, you could not possibly say that 14 years after that was a Yovel. So the Gemara answers, Omar Ravina, Ba'arba Esrei Shono Achar Shono Shuhuksoir. When the Pasuk accounts for 14 years, it's not starting the counting on the Shemitah, on the year one itself. It's year one, meaning Motsoi Shvius, which in fact was the time of the Chorban. But the Pasuk, when it counts 14 years, it's counting 14 starting the year after the year the temple was destroyed. Well then, Ihachi, if that's how the counting is to take place, then in the Pasuk it said, Be'esrim v'chomesh, Shana Esrim V'Shesh Havyon. The Pasuk also made reference, you have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of your Gemara text to help you find where this quote comes from. The Pasuk said, 25 years since our Golos. This is a reference to the exile in which there was a first wave of exile, including the king Yehoyachin. So if you're saying that the counting of 14 years isn't really 14 years from the year of the Chorban, but rather starting the year after the Chorban, you're really adding an extra year in the calculations. So instead of reading 25 years since Golos Yehoyachin, it should have said 26 years. The Omar Mar, the source says, Golu B'Sheva, Golu B'Shmoina, Golu B'Yudches, Golu B'Yutes. This source means that Golu B'Sheva means there was Golus Yehoyachin took place in the it took place 7 years after Bovel conquered the king Yehoyachim, which happens to be 8 years into the realm of Nebuchadnezzar. There was a second wave of exiles that took place in the 18th year. That's Golu B'Yudches in the 18th year. That's the Golus with King Tzidkiyahu. And that 18th year was 18 years after the conquest of Yehoyachim, which is 19 years since Nebuchadnezzar ascended the throne. So now, the Gemara will point out how the calculation works. Mishev means from the seventh year. That means that seventh year was once again the seven years after the conquest of King Jehoiakim, which on this seventh year there was the first wave of exile. So Mishev ad Tamnisori. Tamnisori is the 18th year, which is the year of the temple destruction as well. It's the year in which the second wave, the large wave of exiles, took place in the time of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. So if you count from year 7 to year 18, that's 11 years. The Chomesh Esrei, and then from that that year called 18, we said that was the year of the Chorban, and you're telling me that there was a Yovel that took place in effect 15 years later. That's the Chomesh Esrei. That would give us a total of Esrim Veshis Havya. That's 26. 11 and 15 is 26. And yet the Pasuk says that the Yovel took place 25 years after that first wave of exiles. Omar Loch Ravino. Now, Ravino responds, Uladidoch Minicha. According to you, who want to say that the 14 years doesn't start the year after, but includes the year of the temple destruction itself, do the calculations, are they going to work out? Michti, well, let's look into the calculations and we'll show that even according to you, things aren't going to work out. Golu Nami B'Tesha Esrei. Now here, there's a point that's presented here, but is based on an assumption that later we will dispel. The assumption is that there was a third wave of exiles that took place in the 19th year. That means 19 years after the conquest of King Jehoiakim. That's an assumption. We will later dispel this, however, or later reject this. But in the meantime, we have to like play along. And there's a little Rashi with a star that we have a few lines down from here. Lididoch, according to you, the boys lemimni lishnas hachurban b'hanochar b'osar, according to you that want to count the year of the destruction as part of the 14 years, as opposed to the way we responded, saying that if the counting would start the year after. Well, mi nicho, do things work out? Michti golu nami biyutes, Rashi continues, the salka daitoch, the high mitarets, the havamina of this responder is the gimel golius havu. There were three waves of exiles, of exile. The ha detoni golu biyutes ubiyutes havu shne golius. V'sovar betishah asor havi churban. He's also of the opinion that in the 19th, the exile called the 19th year, that exile was the year of the churban. The chimonis nami arbesar lebahadi shnas churban. If you count your 14 years, including the year of the destruction, ushnas hayovel mishkachas lo esrim v'shis. It'll turn out that a yovel comes out 26 years begolus Yehoyachin shoy v'shnas sheva ulebahadi shasa de goluba. So you'll see that the calculations according to your approach also don't work out, because you're also going to come out to 26. So let's look at the Gemara to see how he presents the numbers. So Ravina says, Ulidcha mi nicha, according to you who want to count the 14 as including the year of the destruction, michti golu nami betisha asara betchaisre. There was an exile in the 19th year since the conquest of Yehoyakim. And now, if you count Mishav from this year 7 since conquest of Yehoyakim, which was the Golos that was referred to in the Pasuk in Yecheskel Perek Mem, who said 25 years of 2 hour Golos there was a Yovel, but it's not going to work out. Because Mishav v'ad Chasre, Tartisori, from 7 to 19, you have 12. And then V'arba, sorry, and then 14, which is mentioned in the Pasuk. 14 years after that is, again, Esrim Vishis Havin is 26. Elo, my is loch lememar. So what are you going to have to say? Labar Mishasa de Goluba, that the counting is, the numbers to the exclusion or besides the year of the exile. In other words, when we make a reference to 25 years, it's not 25 starting with the year of the exile, but exclusion of that year. The counting starts from the year after. So if you count that way, you save yourself a year and you'll get to 25. L'didinami, so too with regard to me, so l'bar mishasa de goluba. Also, the counting is to the exclusion or besides the year that there was that the first exile took place, thereby saving a year. The Gemara asks, "Mikol Mokom Chasri L'Ravino Kasha." Now let's take a look at Rashi, who explains this on the second wide line under the Gemara text. Mikol Mokom Chasri L'Ravino Kasha. Deha vadai begolus ho'achroin hoyo hachurban. Everyone will agree that in the final exile was the year of the destruction. V'kevadim Ravina chamesri shonim ad hayovel. And since Ravina says that there were, this was Ravina's response earlier, that there were 15 years until the Yovel. Umigolus Yehoyachin v'ad shnas churban shehu biyutes, and from Golus Yehoyachin, which was in the 7th year since the conquest of Yehoyachim, until the 19th year, havu chad sori, that's 11. Labar mishasa de golu ba ulabar shnas hachurban, that's besides the year of the actual exile and besides the year of the churban itself. So that we've accounted then for 11, and v'chamesri, and plus 15, 11 and 15, ha esrim v'shis, that comes out to 26 years. So according to according to Ravina, this the calculation is going to lead to 26 years after the first Golos, you have a Yovel, and that's a problem because the Pasuk says 25. The Gemara responds, Misavris Shalosh Golis Havu, who says that there were three waves of exile? It's simply not true. Chasri is not a reference to a third wave of exile, and hence calling that a year of destruction, the year of destruction. Rather, there were two waves of exiles. Golu B'Sheva, there was a wave of exile in the seventh year, L'Kibush Yoakim, 7 years after King Yehoyakim was conquered. Shehi Shmoyel Nebuchadnezzar, that happens to be the eighth year of Nebuchadnezzar's realm, because Nebuchadnezzar, he ascended to the throne a year before he captured Yehoyakim. So if Yehoyakim was in the seventh, there was a Golos 7 years after the conquest of Yehoyakim, that happened to be the eighth year of Nebuchadnezzar's realm. And there was also Golu B'Shmoyna Esrei, there was a L'Kibush Yehoyakim, there was a second wave of exile in the 18th year after Yehoyakim was captured, which happened to be the year of the Churban, and that's the year in which King Tzidkio was exiled with the mass of the Jewish people. Shehi Cha Esrei Nebuchadnezzar, that happened to be the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's realm. The Omar Mar, and just for a little history, the Gemara says, Shona Rishona Kibesh Ninveh, the first year of his rule, Nebuchadnezzar captured Ninveh. Ninveh was a major city in Ashur, and Babel, the Babylonians, conquered the Assyrian kingdom, and that was in the first year of his realm. Shnia, we're at the top of Amud Beis. Shnia, Ola V'Kibesh Yehoyakim, in the second year of his realm, Nebuchadnezzar captured Israel, and captured the king Yehoyakim. So after all is said and done, what we have done with our calculations is we've substantiated that the temple, first Beis HaMikdash, was in fact destroyed on a Motsoi Shvius, year one of a Shemitah cycle. We also indicated that 14 years later there was a Yovel, and we come to that by saying that the counting of the 14 doesn't start with the Shemitah year, that with year one of the Shemitah cycle itself, but it starts which was the year of Churban, but rather we're starting our counting the year after that. And as far as the other information in the Pasuk, 25 years after Kibush Yehoyakim, we have a Yovel. That too, we successfully explained. The Gemara continues, V'chein B'Shnia. This is a quote from the original source that said that the second Beis HaMikdash was also destroyed, and the Habamina right now is, it was also destroyed during a Motsoi Shvius, a year one of a Shemitah cycle. Before we read into the Gemara further, let's take advantage of our nosei, the topic heading in the outside margin. HaGemara Maksha Aho Dikotoni Debayas Sheni Gamke Nechrav B'Moitzoi Shvius. The Gemara will be asking on this statement that the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed likewise on a Moitzoi Shvius. According to the calculations that will be shown, it would have had to have been destroyed on a Shemitah year itself. So as we continue into the Gemara, we'll also notice triangles. And if you skim down the page, you'll notice how the triangles assume alternate positioning, sometimes point up and sometimes point facing down. Under our Mivneh heading, we call this the Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take nature of the Gemara. The point facing up represents questions, and facing down represents answers or responses. In addition, we'll also notice diamonds used in the Gemara, with a numbering that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. So if you skim down your Gemara, you'll notice a diamond with a 1 in it, and further down the page a number 2, and there will be a number 3 on the upper part of Daf Yud Gimel Omid Aleph. What are these? So under our Mivneh heading, we've indicated with a diamond Tirutzim. These are responses or answers. Lahamid Divrei Rabbi Yosi Domar V'chein B'Shmiya, to explain, to affirm and explain Rabbi Yosi's comment that said v'chein v'shnia, and likewise during the second base hamigdash. We've offered a little, concise introduction to the answers that we'll see. Rebbe Yehuda, the approach number one will tell us that we're going to follow Rebbe Yehuda's approach that says the Shnas Chamishim Oylu Lekan Ulekan. We'll be able to resolve our calculations by introducing a unique shita, the shita of Rebbe Yehuda, that says that when we speak about Yovel as being the year 50, it's year 50, but it also counts as year 1. In other words, it's not a separate year 50 after which we start counting a new cycle of 7 Shemitah cycles leading up to the next Yovel, but rather year 50 in our counting also counts as year 1 toward the new cycle. That will be Rabbi Huda's approach, which will make much more sense after we present the Gemara. The second approach will be Kirabonan. We're not going to adopt Rabbi Huda's approach, but rather we'll go like the Rabbanan, who treat the Yovel year as a separate entity, as a year 50 on its own, v'hadikotani v'chein b'shnia, and that which the original source says that what took place in the first Beis HaMikdash took place also in the second Beis HaMikdash, that's lo kolel haprat da churban hoya b'moisoi shmita. It doesn't include that particular detail. In other words, regarding other characteristics of the temple's destruction, we find the second temple resembling the first, but not with regard to this particular detail. And number three, we'll see on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, where Rav Ashi presents his approach. Of course, everything we've said till now might sound a bit vague because we haven't seen the Gemara present the problem in the first place. The point of offering these headings on the side will serve as best as a review when one has already learned the sugya. Let's continue now in the Gemara. On the top line, we start here with a question. The question lasts a few lines. You can see we have a long question marking to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. We see an encircled kuf with a vertical descending dashed line, lasting around 5 lines, showing that all of these lines constitute the question. So we said v'chein b'shniyah, that the second Beis HaMikdash was also destroyed, and we think it means on a motzoi shviyas. That means on year 1 of a new Shemitah cycle. The Gemara asks, Ushniya b'motzoi shviyas mi mishkachas lo? Will one find that to really be the case, that the second temple was destroyed on a motzoi shviyas? Well, let's look into this. Bayis sheni kama kom, how long did Bayis sheni stand? Arba me'avi asrim, 420 years. If you take the number 420 and make the assumption that the Shemitah Yovel cycle counting started at the beginning of the building, the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, so you take the number 420 and break it down. Arba mea, 400 equals tamni yovli. That's an even 8 yovel cycles. You'll have 8 yovels because every yovel is a 50-year period. If you 8 times 50, that accounts for 400. So over 400 years, that would get us to a complete cycle of 8 yovels. That's only 400, though. We have to get to 420. Our Besar, 14 more years, Tre Shavua. 14 years are 2 times a Shemitah cycle. So at the end of 14 years, when you get to that, you know you're at a Shemitah year. Poshu Lehu Shis. There's a balance of 6 years to complete 420. At the end of that, you have the destruction. Havu le b'shisa b'shavua. 6 years, that six balance meant 6 years. That really is the sixth year of a Shemitah cycle. So the fact that 420 concludes on the sixth year of a Shemitah cycle shows us that it stood for 420 years and then was destroyed. So it must have been destroyed on a Shemitah year itself, not on a Motzoi Shviyas. The Gemara answers, we will show you how the second temple was destroyed on a Motzoi Shviyas, by changing our calculation a bit. Ha money, Rabbi Yudahi, the source that that was quoted above, that v'chein b'shnia is in conformity to Rabbi Yehuda. Diomar shnas chamishim oyle lekan ulekan. That the year 50 also counts as year 1. So that if you were to talk about a period of 8 yovels, 8 yovels doesn't mean 400 years. And the Gemara goes on to explain, I see tamni mitamni yovli. By saying that the yovel year counts also as year 1, if before we said that in 400 years you had 8 yovels, but the yovels, according to Rabbi Yehuda, don't account for a separate year. They're concurrent with a new year. So you really have saved 8 years. So bring those 8 years, v'hanishis, and the balance of 6 that we mentioned before, havi ar besar. That means 8 plus 6 gets you 14. Oh, so that the Beis HaMikdash stood for 420 years. Those 420 years had in them 8 yovels. And then there was mentioned before of 14 years, but that is not a significant number for our discussion because 14 is an equal to 7-year periods. Now, in addition to those 14, we have this 8 that we saved from the original calculation and the balance of 6 that was mentioned before. That, too, is 14 years. And with that, you get your full 420 years. Ishtakach de b'motsoi shmi'is horuv. 14 being a unit of 2 equal shmita years, and that accounts for the full time of the standing of the Beis HaMikdash. The next year, which is Motsoi Shvi'is, was the time it was destroyed. So that is fine. Then things work out. The Gemara asks, well, Rabbi Yehuda, and here we're going to have a very long question. That means if you want to say that the source that spoke about the destruction of the two temples is according to Rabbi Yehuda, well then, Borishona lo mishkachas law, then it won't work out regarding the first temple, which stood 410 years, it won't work out that it was destroyed on a Motsoi Shvi'is, the Sanya. And now, here we'll go through the calculation. We have a long Tanaic source. Shiva Asar Yovlos Monu Yisrael Mishenichnasu La'aretz Ve'ad Shiyotsu. There were 17 Yovel cycles that the Jews counted from the time they entered the land of Israel until their exile upon the destruction of the first temple. Then we have, in between the lines we just noted, 17 times 50 is 850 years, which would mean about 850 years since they entered the land, they finally went into exile. Now, v'i ato yochol lomar mishol shenichnesu monu, you can't say that the 17 yovels, the counting for them started as soon as they entered the land. She'im ata omer kain, if you were to say that if the counting started as soon as they entered the land, nimtza bayis chorev betchilas yovel, it would then turn out that the the Beis HaMikdash would have been destroyed at the beginning of a yovel, v'ata motse, and then you wouldn't be able to fulfill the pasuk that says ba'arba asar shana achar asher hukso ir. The pasuk indicated, and we saw this pasuk quoted before, that a yovel arrived 14 years after the destruction of the temple. So, Ella, how do you resolve that? Ella tse mehem sheva shikivshu v'sheva shichilku. There, you subtract the 7 years that the Jews were involved with conquest of the land under the leadership of Yehoshua, and another 7 years for the division of the land, dividing the land of Israel amongst the different tribes. And it means if you, instead of starting the counting of the 850 years from the entrance literally into the land, you start the counting from a point in time 14 years later. So from that mark, from that particular year, 14 years after they entered the land, and then you say there were 17 Yovels, it will turn out then that 14 years after the Churban, in fact, there would have been a Yovel. Now, the E, Reb Yehuda, if the source above that spoke about the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash taking place in Motzoi Shvius was according to Reb Yehuda, I see Shivsri Mishivsri Yovli, you would then take you would take 17 years accounting for the 17 Yovels that were just mentioned, Shodi Ahani, you would then place them on the years mentioned. And if you do that, if you take, you have then this additional 17 years, then now 17 is divided by two Shemitah cycles. That's 7 and 7 is 14. And then a balance of 3. Havalei betlosa b'shavua. Then it will come out that the destruction took place on the third year of a Shemitah cycle. So that if we're going to try to set up the source indicating that the two Batei Mikdash were destroyed on Motzoi Shvius, and mention that the first one was also destroyed on Motzoi Shvius, according to the Reb Yehuda calculation, we will be thrown off, because you will have, as far as the number of Yovels are concerned, you'll have saved yourself 17 years, because Yovel itself doesn't account for an additional year. It's celebrated concurrently with a new first year of the next Shemitah cycle. So, as we just saw in the Gemara, that will place you as far as the Churban year, in year 3 of a Shemitah cycle. The Gemara answers, Hanoch Shoni Da'aklinu Sancherev Ad De'osa Yirmiyo Adrinu Lo Kachoshev Lehu. There was a period of time during the first Beis HaMikdash in which Sancherib, the Assyrian monarch, was responsible for the exiling of the northern kingdom of Israel. And that period of time that the northern kingdom of Israel was in exile until the prophet Yirmiyahu brought them back, so that is simply not counted. So that we have to... during those years there wasn't a counting of the Yovel, the Shemitah Yovel cycle, and hence that would explain how the numbers that we gave are not to be, let's say, be the source of our information. Rashi spends a lot of time on this section of the Gemara because Rashi quotes a text, a girsa that we don't have in the Gemara itself, and proceeds to reject that other version and maintains the version that we have. Now, Ibo Esema Li'olam Rabbonan. This is a second diamond. That means that instead of setting up the source mentioned, the destruction of the first and second temples according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can say it works out according to the Rabbonan. Now, we had a problem with that in so far as the second Beis HaMikdash and it being destroyed on a Motzoi Shvius, it just wouldn't work out according to the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says it does work out according to the Rabbanan. V'chi kotoni v'chein b'shnia, and when the source says that likewise regarding the second temple, Asha'ora, it's referring to other aspects that were present in the first temple, namely Tisha B'Av and on a Sunday, but not including the detail concerning Motzoi Shvius. Hachi Nami Mistabra. Now the Gemara goes on to make a long point, and this point continues down the upper few lines of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, and the essence of this point is that the Chaim B'Shnia is not a total replica of the first Beis HaMikdash. The Chaim B'Shnia meaning a total repeat of events, but with regard to some of the details, namely the Second Temple. During the Second Temple and the Second Temple destruction, there were some similar aspects between it and the First Temple destruction, but not all aspects. And here the Gemara goes on to say that that is a reasonable answer. Hachi nami mistabra. And it's likewise, it's likely to say thusly. De'i lo tema hachi, if you insist on saying that the second temple was an exact replica of events of the First Temple, that simply isn't going to work. Mishmarto sho Yehoyoriv b'shnia mihavoi. Was there a service group of Yehoyoriv, the service group of Kohanim and Levim and Yisraim as well, were broken down into 24 service groups, and each group had a name of Kohen families. Now it was reported in the original source that the first temple was destroyed during the Mishmar of Yehoyoriv. Yehoyoriv being the name of one of those families of Kohanim that served in the cycle of service groups that were divided through the year. Now, can you say that there was a Yehoyoriv service group during the second Beis HaMikdash? In fact, there wasn't. And so you see that the events describing the first temple destruction could not be expected to be repeated regarding the second temple destruction. V'hotanya, and the source shows that there wasn't a Yehoyoriv service group. It says in this source, Arba Mishmos Olu Min HaGoyla, in the time of Ezra, which was the time concerning the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, there were four Mishmos, four of 24 that returned to the land of Israel. And their names were Yedaya, V'chorim, Pashur, V'imar. Since only four of 24 service groups came, so what the leaders, the prophets in that time period came, took these four service groups and wrote on, we'll call it on lots, the names of the other 20, so that you have 24 service groups recorded on separate lots. V'cholkum l'chof dalet mishmoros. Bolulum v'nosnu b'kalfi, they mixed them up and put them in an urn. Ba Yedaya v'not al-chelko v'chelek chaverov sheish. Yedaya came and pulled out a lot with their name on it, and an additional five, which for a total of six names, which were then included under Yedaya's leadership, if you will. Not that there were the other five groups, but the Yedaya family was then broken into, instead of being one service group, was broken down into six service groups. Bo Chorim v'notal chelko v'chelik chaverov sheish. Likewise, Chorim came and took drew lots, a total of six. V'chein pashu v'chein imer. So what do you see in the meantime? That there Yehoyoriv was, who was there in the first temple, was not there in the second Beis HaMikdash. Hiskinu Nevi'im Shebeinehem, we're at the top, the second line on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara continues, Hiskinu Nevi'im Shebeinehem, Shafiru Yoriv Rosh Mishmaros Oila. Even if Yehoyoriv, who used to be the number one service group in the cycle of service during the year, even if they do come back to the land of Israel, Lo Yidcha Yedaya Mimakoimoy, then Yedaya won't be pushed out of their newly assumed number one position. El Yedaya Iker v'Hayoriv Tafel Lo. If they should show up, then Yedaya maintains their preeminent position, and Yehoyoriv will serve under them as a subsidiary group. So what do you see from this? You see that the events that were present in the first Beis HaMikdash were not exactly present in the second. Ela Asha'ora. Therefore, you have to conclude that when the source says V'chein B'shnia, it's a reference to the other things. And namely, the date of the second temple destruction was likewise the ninth of Av. and it was also on a Sunday, but as far as it being on a Motsoi Shvias, that's not the case. And rather, it, as we said on the upper part of Yud Beis Amud Beis, the actual year according to the Rabbanan would come out to be after 6 years, meaning on the Shemitah year itself, and not a Motsoi Shvias. Rav Ashi, a third approach, Omar. Now, once again, just to remind ourselves, Rav Ashi is dealing with the issue, and we have this under our Noseh heading in the outside margin. He is dealing with what we've written, Tshuvas Rav Ashi Lasbir Tehode Kotani V'chein B'shnia, that which it said in the original source, that also on the second year, second temple, that is Amotsoi Shemitah Koi, is in fact referring to a year one of a Shemitah cycle. V'havi Aliva the Rabbanan, and that in fact will be according to the Rabbanan. And this is an approach not like the number one diamond, which said that in order to get to a Motsoi Shvias, you have to set it up according to Rebbe Yehuda. No, says Rav Ashi, even according to the Rabbanan, we can offer a calculation that will make sense. Rav Ashi, Omar, Hanoch Shis Shoni. Remember, in the original Rabbanan calculation, we had a balance of 6 years that they had to account for regarding the second temple. So he says, as far as the let's say being off by 6 years, in fact, Hanoch Shis Shoni Ad Desolik Ezra Umakdish Lo Ka Choshiv Lahu. The first 6 years that the Beis HaMikdash was standing don't figure in the calculation, because until Ezra came, who came 6 years after the temple was rebuilt, he didn't come immediately upon the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash. He came 6 years later. The Yovel cycle was not reinstated. Dichtiv. Now, and as is recorded in the Pasuk, that the Pasuk here will tell us that until the passage of 6 years, Ezra, in fact, didn't come back to Israel. It says in the Pasuk, in the Aramaic words in this Pasuk, Beidayin betelas avidas beis elakona di Yerushalayim. During the time that there was a halt of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And it goes on to say, Ad shnas tartin l'malchus Daryovesh, until the second year of the king Daryovesh. V'sheitzi baiso dino ad yoim tlosa liyarech ador dihi shnas shis l'malchus Daryovesh malka. And the now Rashi explains on this, V'sheitzi, Rashi says, V'sheitzi baiso almu b'shnas sheish, on the sixth year, nishlam. It was 6 years afterwards it was completed. Hare chomei shonim uba'oises man l'shona bo sho hi shnas shishis lebinyan. That year, namely the sixth year of the temple's reconstruction, Ola Ezra ubo Yerushalayim b'chodesh av. So you can see from this pasuk, though it's in the Aramaic, we extract from here that Ezra came only 6 years after the first temple was, after the second Beis HaMikdash was already standing. Vitona, the Gemara continues, Ba'oises man l'shona habo ola Ezra v'galuso imoi. That year, a year later, Ezra and his and the exiles together with him came back. Dichtiva yavo Yerushalayim b'chodesh hachamishi hi hashona hashviyis lamelech. That was the seventh year of the Persian monarch's realm. So if we saw earlier at the beginning of this sugya, on the upper part of Daf Yud Beis Omid Beis, that we had a 6 year discrepancy with regard to the calculation in order to explain that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in a on a Motsoi Shvias, don't worry about it. So we push everything ahead 6 years, and with that in mind, we do come out with the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash on a Motsoi Shvias. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.